This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This is the Relic Radio Show. Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for joining me again this week for another hour of old-time radio. We're going to start off this time with Dangerous Assignment, an episode titled UFOs in Ecuador, first aired April 17th, 1950. Then it's a quick Believe It or Not, An Empty Grave. We'll finish off with Have Gun, Will Travel, and Ella West from December 7th, 1958.
Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell.
Morning, Commissioner.
Steve.
You know, this better be important. There's a certain redhead who was just dying to go for a long ride in the country today. Now I can't even give her a chance to walk back.
This is important, Steve. Ever hear of the Triangle Airlines?
No.
It's an American charter outfit owned by a man named Kovac. They fly cargo across the northern part of South America, from Ecuador to Brazil. The last 10 days, three of their planes have disappeared over the jungles, vanished without a trace. Pilots haven't been heard from since.
So a private airline's in trouble. Since when have we been pulling chestnuts out of the fire for outfits like that?
Ordinarily, we wouldn't be interested, but the circumstances accompanying the disappearance of these cargo planes make it our concern.
What circumstances?
Well, I don't quite know how to tell you, Steve.
Oh, now, let's not be bashful, Commissioner. What do you mean?
Flying saucers.
What did you say?
You heard me. Flying saucers.
Commissioner, I'm a pretty patient guy. But if you think I'm going down to South America and start looking for flying saucers...
That's just what you are going to do, Steve, and your plane leaves in an hour.
Now, look, don't tell me you're going to give me a Buck Rogers ray gun to shoot them down with.
This is no joke, Steve. Look, I don't care whether it's flying saucers or flying dishpans. That area is too close to the Panama Canal for comfort. You'll be met in Ecuador by a man named Drake, the chief pilot of the airlines. He'll fill you in on the background. Well, that's it. You've got your assignment. Good luck.
National Broadcasting Company is proud to present Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell, colorful, two-fisted government agent. At all those places of the world where danger and intrigue walk hand in hand, there you will find Steve Mitchell on another Dangerous Assignment.
Well, this assignment really takes the cake. I've had my share of screw-loose jobs, but... flying saucers yet. It's Wednesday night when I get to Ecuador. Drake, the chief pilot of Triangle Airlines, is waiting for me at the airport. He bustles me into the co-pilot seat of one of their cargo ships, and we take off and head east.
It's about a two-hour hop to Santa Rosa, Mitchell. You should be there about midnight.
What's at Santa Rosa?
One of our fields. Kovac, the owner, is waiting there for you.
You do most of your flying at night around here, Drake, huh?
All of it.
Less turbulence over these mountains.
You a flyer, too?
Oh, now and then.
Too bad you're not looking for a job. If this monkey business keeps up, I'm going to be fresh out of pilots.
Just what has been going on?
You tell me. It's happened 3 times now. A radio flash from the pilot about seeing flying saucers. Then the radio goes dead and the plane's never heard of again.
You searched the jungle near the route for the planes?
From the air. The country's too rugged for a ground search.
Hey, what was that?
Mitchell, look outside. All those lights.
Yeah. Hey, they look like rings or discs swirling around.
They're right alongside of us.
I'm going to go back aft in the plane. Maybe I can get a better look at them.
Mitchell!
Drake, what is it? What's the matter? Drake! The Drake just grabs at his chest and slumps over. The plane starts into a dive. I jump back into my seat and...
right up, level it out.
I remember... noticing Drake had been flying a heading of 95 degrees, so I hold it there. By the time I can look outside again, the whirling things are gone. I reach for the radio. T3 calling Santa Rosa Tower. T3 calling Santa Rosa Tower. Over.
Santa Rosa Tower to T3. Go ahead.
T3 to Santa Rosa. This is Steve Mitchell. Keep in touch with me. I've got to bring this bucket of bolts in, and I don't know anything about the route or the field. Over.
Santa Rosa to T3. What happened to Drake Mitchell? Over.
I'll tell you about it when I get there. Right now, that's what concerns me. Over.
Stay on 95 degrees. If you're on schedule, you'll be over the field in an hour. Your course follows a valley. You'll know it if you get off it, all right. There's a high mountain range on each side. Over.
Thanks a lot for the pleasant thought. I'll see you in about an hour, I hope. Over and out. So, for the next hour, I nurse a strange plane between two mountain ranges I can't see on a night black enough to plate post office. All the while, I'm trying to convince myself I didn't see what I know I did. Drake is still unconscious, but he stirs a little now and then. Finally, I pick out the lights of Santa Rosa Airfield and manage to bring the ship in okay.
Mitchell?
Yeah?
I'm George, Kovac's nephew.
Yeah?
I was talking to you on the radio.
Oh.
Sure glad you made it, okay?
You're glad. Come on, give me a hand with Drake here.
Okay. Hey, he's coming out of it.
Yeah.
Drake. Drake.
What? Oh, my chest.
What happened to you, Drake?
I don't know. Right after we saw those things, I suddenly felt like I'd been kicked in the chest by a mule. That's all I can remember.
But there's not a mark on you.
Yeah, great. Flying saucers aren't enough. Now we've got invisible rays.
Well, why didn't it hit you too, Mitchell?
I don't know. Wait. I just started aft when it happened.
Guess it's a good thing for you. You did.
Yeah. Come on, Joyce. We'll get Drake taken care of, and then we'll talk to your uncle.
Mr. Mitchell, your description of what you saw during your flight tallies with those the missing pilots radioed in. I tell you frankly, I'm on the ragged edge with this airline. I've lost three planes. One more and I'm ruined.
Isn't your line insured, Mr. Kovac?
Why, yes, but this is more than money. It's a matter of prestige.
Look, Uncle Emil, if you'd taken my advice a month ago when the Van Horn Exporting Company wanted to buy you
George,
out...
George, for the last time, I'll not tolerate any advice from you as to how to run my affairs.
Sure, you stick your nose in all my affairs, but I'm not supposed to open my mouth where yours are concerned.
If you don't keep a civil tongue in your head...
Look, gentlemen, I don't want to stir up a hornet's nest between you, but what is this Van Horn Exporting Company?
They ship crates of carved wooden statues regularly on our planes. Our largest customer, as a matter of fact... About 2 months ago, they approached me with a substantial offer to buy the line. But just before the trouble started, they notified me that they were withdrawing their offer. Bad business conditions, they said.
Any particular reason why business should be bad?
Oh, there have been rumors about some mysterious revolutionary party organizing lately. That sort of thing always has a bad effect on business in these countries.
I see.
Mitchell, what'll be your first step?
Well, I think I'll pay a visit to the Van Horn Exporting Company in the morning.
Why? You certainly don't think they're involved in this flying saucer deal, do you?
Look, when you don't know where to start, one place is as good as another. Besides, I'm sure the Van Horn Company is a lot closer than Mars.
Yes, sir?
This the office of the Van Horn Exporting Company?
Yes, it is.
Well, I'd like to talk to the boss. Is he around?
Yes, I'm the boss, as you call it.
Huh? You?
I'm Herta Van Horn.
Oh, well, looks like the company is in good hands.
Thank you. What can I do for you, Mr...
Mitchell. Steve Mitchell. Your company ships cargo pretty regularly with the Triangle Airlines.
I have been, but if their present trouble continues, I think I will have to make other arrangements. You're down here to investigate that trouble, aren't you?
I don't remember telling you that.
One picks up things here and there.
Yeah, I guess one does. A couple of months ago, you offered to buy the airline, didn't you?
Yes, I did. But that was before the trouble started. Naturally, I'm not interested now.
Well, according to my information, you withdrew your offer just before the trouble started.
I see that you, too, pick up things here and there. Yes, I began to hear rumors about the formation of a revolutionary party. I decided it would be unwise to make a large investment under those conditions.
I see. You know, that's the second time I've heard this rumor about a revolutionary party.
Oh? What about it?
Oh, nothing. Except it seems like a pretty convenient time to start that rumor circulating.
I don't know what you're trying to prove, Steve, but I wish you luck.
Thanks, Herta. Maybe meeting you has been luck.
One never knows. I expect I will see you again.
You expect right, Herta. And soon.
Hi, Mitchell. George told me I'd find you here in the office.
Yeah. Come on in, Drake. How are you feeling today?
Well, a lot better, thanks. My chest still hurts a little. I'd sure give a lot to know what hit me last night.
So would I.
Doing some paperwork this morning?
Yeah. I've been checking cargo invoices and radio logs. I've discovered a couple of pretty interesting things.
Huh? What?
Look, each time a plane has disappeared, it's been carrying a shipment from the Van Horn Company.
Hmm? Well, what does that prove?
I don't know yet. Take a look at this copy of the invoice.
Hmm? Well, what about it?
How many Van Horn crates are listed there?
Let's see, six.
Yeah, but isn't that number a little smudged on this copy?
Yeah, it looks like it.
Who handles these invoices on this end?
Well, sometimes Kovac and sometimes George.
Hmm. How big are those Van Horn crates?
5-6 feet long. Now, what are you getting at, Mitchell?
I'm not sure yet, but here's something else. According to the radio logs, in each case, the pilot reported sighting the flying saucers about 20 minutes after takeoff.
So?
Now, take a look at this map. 20 minutes out at the course and speed your planes fly should put them right near this mountain.
Yeah, Mount San Anselmo. Look, what are you getting at?
Well, suppose those flying saucers came from the ground, Drake. You know...
Don't tell me you're going into those jungles.
Sure. You know anyone who could guide me?
Seems to me one of those mechanics has a brother named Pavlo, some sort of a guide, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Mitchell, you ought to think this over before you go in.
I have thought it over. Now see if you can round up that guide, will you? I'd like to get started as soon as possible. How far you figure we've come since we left the jeep, Pablo?
Well, at least 10 miles, senor.
Well, we ought to be getting close to the spot, then. Brother, this jungle is thick. This is the only trail through it, huh?
Si.
I can believe it.
Senor, watch out!
Huh? Why the flying tackle?
Look, senor. Huh? Look there in the trail in front of you.
I don't see anything.
Quiet. Look more closely. Hidden by the underbrush on the ground.
Yeah. I see it now. A rope, noose. Spread over the trail.
See, and over there, senor. See the tree which is bent almost double?
Mm-hmm. Another step and we'd have been dangling from that tree like two apples. Come on, let's bring that trap, quick.
And for senor, you...
Look, someone's obviously hiding around here, waiting to catch us dangling from that rope. Let's make him think he succeeded. Here's a dead branch beside the trail. Give me a hand with it.
See.
Got it?
See.
Okay. Stop here.
The trigger is probably under that little pile of leaves, senor.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Okay, we'll toss this branch on top of it and see what happens. You ready?
Si.
Let her go.
Look at that. The rope jerked that branch right up in the air. Now get down here beside the trail.
Senor, I hear something.
Yeah, so do I. Somebody coming through the underbrush. Okay, let him get right on top of us, then we'll jump him. Now... Watch it, Pablo. He's got a gun.
Yeah, but I have him a chance.
No. Hold it. Oh, great.
Did I did something wrong, senor?
Well, he'd have done the same to us if we'd given him a chance. But I wanted to get some information from him.
I will take a look. Yeah, there is nothing in his pocket, senor, except this scrap of paper.
Let me see it.
Si, here you are.
La Posada, 8 o'clock. What's La Posada mean?
That's the name of a bar in Santa Rosa.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like he had a date. Okay, I'll keep the date for him. Maybe I can find out who's been going all out to kill me.
You are listening to Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy in the role of Steve Mitchell.
A few minutes before 8 that night, I'm waiting in the shadows across the street from La Posada Bar. A car pulls up in front. Herta Van Horn is driving. A guy starts to get out, but Herta pulls him back for a minute. There's a long kiss, and he gets out and heads for the bar. Herta pulls away. As he opens the door, the light silhouettes him. It's Kovac's nephew, George. I wait for a few minutes, and then I saunter in after him. Hello, George.
Oh, hi, Mitchell.
Are you surprised to see me?
Should I be?
I don't know. You waiting for somebody, George?
Waiting for a drink right now.
Is this a favorite hangout of yours?
It's the only decent bar in Santa Rosa.
Mm-hmm.
Look, what's with the third degree, Mitchell?
Oh, nothing in particular. Just curious.
Everybody stay right where you are and keep your hands in sight.
Hey, look at all the soldiers. What's the deal?
Such men.
You're under arrest, all of you. Everyone in this bar is under arrest.
Arrest? Hey, look, who are you?
Lieutenant Gonzalez of the military.
Arrest for what?
Look, Lieutenant.
It will do you no good to argue. You will come quietly or be shot.
Hey, what's going on around this joint?
Oh, Drake. Yeah, looks like I'm about to get pinched.
What's the beef?
You know this man, Senor Drake?
Well, I certainly do, Lieutenant. Steve Mitchell. He's down here investigating the trouble we've been having on the airline.
You better take a look at my credentials, Lieutenant. Here.
I see. I'm sorry to have disturbed you, Senor Mitchell, but with the situation what it is, we cannot take chances.
What situation?
We have information that this bar is the headquarters for a revolutionary party. That is why we raided the place.
You sure there's more to this revolutionary party than a rumor?
Do you think that the military would act on a mere rumor?
Maybe, if the rumor was convincing enough. Well, I'll see you around, Lieutenant. And, Drake, thanks for the assist. Morning, Herta.
Good morning, Steve. What can I do for you?
I'd like to take a look at your shipping invoice the last couple of weeks, okay?
I guess, of course. Here you are.
Thanks. Yeah, here's the one I want. Now, this shipment was on the last plane that disappeared.
What about it?
This invoice shows 5 crates shipped, but the copy they have at the airfield shows 6.
Well, there must have been a mistake then.
Yeah. Right now, I'm wondering who made it.
Steve, I don't know what you're trying to prove, but I'm beginning to resent your inferences.
Sorry, I didn't know they were showing, Herta. I guess George was right when he said your company couldn't possibly have anything to do with the trouble the line is having.
George?
Yeah, Kovac's nephew.
Oh, well, it was very nice of the men to come to my rescue when I hardly know him.
You hardly know George, huh?
Well, just to speak to on the street.
I see. Well, I better be getting back to the field.
I'm sorry I cannot help you, Steve.
Thanks, Herta. Maybe you have.
Oh, Mitchell.
Why, hello, Mr. Kovac. On your way to see Herta?
No, looking for you. Have you found out anything at all about these flying saucers and what's behind this thing?
Mr. Kovac, so far I've been just grabbing at handfuls of smoke here and there. But there's enough smoke to mean fire somewhere. You've got a plane going tonight, haven't you?
Yes.
Is there a Van Horn shipment aboard?
That's right.
How many crates?
Why, 5, I believe.
Okay. Just one thing more. Do you have a small plane I could use?
Well, there's a 4-place cabin job at the field.
That's perfect.
Mitchell, what are you going to do?
I'd like you and George to be at the control tower when your cargo plane takes off tonight, Mr. Kovac. I'll tell you what I'm going to do then. That night, I wait in the shadows near the airfield. I spot the plane, T-5, loaded and ready. The pilot is in the shack getting his weather report. I slip quietly aboard. The invoice had said 5 Van Horn crates, but I can count 6 of them, all about 6 feet long. I put my ear to the top crate, and I hear what I expect to hear. Then I freeze. Footsteps outside. There's a faint scrape of metal under the belly of the plane. The steps fade away. I get out, crawl under. I take a long look, and a lot of things suddenly fall into place. I head for the control tower. George, Kovac, and Drake are there.
T-5 to Santa Rosa Tower, ready to go.
Santa Rosa Tower to T-5, go ahead. Wind 15 at 30 degrees.
Well, Mitchell, now perhaps you'll tell me why you wanted George and myself to be here tonight.
Sure. I want to take you for a ride in your plane.
A ride? Where?
We're going to follow the plane that's just taking off.
What? Now, Mitchell...
What's the matter, Kovac? Doesn't the idea appeal to you?
Well, I'd rather not go, Mitchell. I don't like this idea.
Afraid of what you might see, huh, Kovac?
Of course not.
How about you, George?
Why, I don't know what you're getting at, Mitchell, but it sounds like a lot of nonsense to me.
Drake, you want to go along just for the ride?
Sure. Except I'm not anxious to get hit again by one of those things that hit me the other night.
I think we'll be safe enough. Get the plane warmed up for me, will you? I'll be with you as soon as I make a telephone call.
Aren't you going to ready the pilot that we're following him, Mitchell?
No. You and George just sit back there and keep your eyes on that plane.
I don't see what you're trying to prove, Mitchell.
I think you will in a minute, George. How long since takeoff, Drake?
Oh, about 19, 20 minutes. Want me to take over the controls?
No, thanks.
Mitchell, look at that plane below, all around it.
Circles of whirling light. Mitchell, the flying saucers.
Relax.
T-5 to Santa Rosa. T-5 to Santa Rosa. It's all around me. Flashing lights and whirling things. Must be the flying saucers.
That was the pilot reporting back. Flying saucers.
Wait a minute. They seem to be coming from the plane itself.
They are. From underneath the plane.
What?
Yeah, from a bracket attached to the belly. They're not flying saucers. They're just a glorified collection of fireworks.
Fireworks? Hey, wait. That plane's turning left.
But how can it fly at all? Something's happened to the pilot. He's the only one aboard.
No, there's another guy aboard. He's probably doing the flying now.
Where'd he come from?
He climbed out of a crate.
Hey, the plane is heading right for that mountain. It's climbing.
We'll climb with it.
Mitchell, what's behind all this?
I don't know. Right now, I'm more interested in who's behind it. Kovac, you said you were pretty heavily insured, didn't you?
Why, yes. What's that got to do with it?
Did you inspect the cargo plane before it took off?
I always do.
You could have attached the fireworks to that bracket under the belly when you made your inspection, couldn't you?
Are you insane? Why would I do a thing like that? Why, George here looked over the plane after I did.
That's interesting. And George usually handles the invoices. He could have altered the number of crates on them.
Look, Mitchell.
Hey, we're right over the mountain now. And that plane is starting to lose altitude. Tell me, George, why did Herta Van Horn lie about the two of you?
Keep your mouth shut, Mitchell.
He said she barely knew you, but when I saw the two of you in our car outside La Posada Bar, your acquaintance seemed to be more than a nodding one.
George, have you been seeing that woman again? I distinctly told you I would not tolerate...
Okay, so it's out in the open now. Sure, I've been seeing her, and I intend to keep it up. I can't help it if you don't like her. I do.
We'll discuss this later, George.
Hey, look down there. Some faint lights.
What? There's nothing but jungle there.
Look again. That's a camouflage landing strip, and the cargo plane is landing.
So that's what's been happening to my plane.
What mountain is that we just came over?
El Diablo.
And the landing strip is right behind. Okay, we've seen enough. I'll radio back a report.
Hand me that microphone, Mitchell.
Hmm?
Drake!
Look out, he's got a gun.
I said hand me that microphone.
Okay, Drake. You know, I kind of got to figuring it was you. As chief pilot, you were in a good spot to alter the invoices and get your stooges aboard the plane in crates.
But why?
Tune the radio to 4150 kilocycles, Mitchell.
Okay. Yeah, you were the only one who knew I was going into the jungle, too, Drake. You arranged a little booby trap for me. You're also a good actor, faking that collapse you pulled on me in the plane.
Shut up and keep tuning.
Okay, you're on 4150 now.
This is Drake. This is Drake. Leave the lights on. We're coming in behind a cargo plane. Stand by to receive some uninvited guests. Okay, Mitchell, go down and land. The first time you try anything smart, you'll get your head blown off.
I set the plane down on the strip. The landing lights flick off, and half a dozen rugged-looking gents swarm out to meet us. Drake huddles with them for a few minutes, and then they haul Kovac, George, and me into a log hut hidden under the trees. They toss us in there and bolt the door. But the door has an inside bolt, too. We shoot it in place. We can't get out, but now they can't get in.
Mitchell! Open the door, Mitchell!
Okay, smart boy. You'll come out running when it gets light.
The hours crawl by. We sit and wait and sweat.
What time is it now, Mitchell?
5 a.m.
I can't stand this waiting. What good did it do us to bolt the door from the inside? We can't stay in here forever.
I'm playing for time. I've still got an ace up my sleeve, but we've got to stay alive until dawn to find out if it's any good.
Well, don't look now, but I think dawn's here.
Huh?
There's a crack of light under the door.
Brother. If something doesn't happen pretty soon, we're cooked. Hey, maybe we are. Do you smell that?
Gasoline.
You'll be coming out pretty soon now, boys.
Mitchell, he set fire to the hut.
Yeah. I guess that's why he was waiting for dawn. He was afraid the fire might be spotted at night.
Is this the ace up your sleeve, Mitchell?
We can't stay here and roast like rats in a trap.
We'll get a bullet in the belly as soon as we open that door.
Couple of keen choices. I'll take my chances with the bullets. Come on, let's get this door unbolted.
But they'll kill us.
I'll take fresh air with mine. Hey, wait a minute. Listen.
A plane.
That's the ace up my sleeve I was talking about.
Sounds like it's coming down. Who is it?
Just before we took off last night, I made a phone call, remember? It was to Lieutenant Gonzalez of the military.
Gonzalez? But how did he know what happened to us after we took off?
We'll wait it out later. Let's get out of here. Hey, Gonzalez boys are taking no chances. They want that landing strip clear when they sit down. Come on, George, let's get this door unbolted.
Okay.
Okay, come on.
Look at them scatter.
Hey, Mitchell, there goes Drake, trying for the jungle.
I'll get him.
Watch out, he's got a gun.
I see it. You can't run and shoot at the same time, Drake. Better make up your mind which.
Okay, I'll shoot, Mitchell.
Too late, Drake.
Let go of me.
He who hesitates is... lost, you know.
Mitchell, you okay?
Yeah. How are Gonzalez and his boys doing?
Well, they seem to be mopping up in a hurry. Mitchell, I still don't understand how Gonzalez found out.
Well, when I called him last night, I told him our radio frequency, and I asked him to listen in. Then I kept the mic open the entire time.
Gonzalez overheard everything that was said in our plane, huh?
Yeah, including the location of the landing strip. But I knew he wouldn't try to bring a plane in here before dawn. That's why I was hoping we'd still be alive by then.
But why were Drake and his outfit trying to ruin my airline?
Look, if you're going to operate a secret landing strip, you don't want a regular airline flying through the area. They figured the flying saucer gag would scare you off.
Well, it seems to me this was a pretty big operation for a small revolutionary party in a small country, Mitchell.
You know, I've been thinking that, too. Could be that's all there is to it. But it's not a long hop from here to the Panama Canal. Maybe somebody else had ideas about using this strip eventually. Of course, we'll never know, and anyway, it doesn't matter much now.
Yeah. Speaking of things we'll never know, we didn't prove anything one way or the other about flying saucers in this deal.
We proved something as far as Drake's concerned, though.
What's that?
If you monkey around with fireworks long enough, you're sure to get your nose burned.
Or busted.
Just heard another episode in the exciting new adventure series, Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy in the role of Steve Mitchell. Dangerous Assignment is written by Bob Reif, with music by Bruce Ashley, and was directed tonight by Max Hutto. Be with us again next week at this time when Brian Donlevy, starring as Steve Mitchell, will embark on another Dangerous Assignment. There's more great action-packed entertainment for you throughout the week on NBC. Other mystery adventure programs include such popular shows as Big Town, Dragnet, High Adventure, and Christopher London. Starring as Christopher London, you'll hear Glenn Ford in the swashbuckling role of a romantic, adventurous private investigator. On High Adventure, there's the utmost in thrilling drama to entertain adventure-minded listeners. Dragnet brings you in stark realism cases direct from official police files. And during Big Town, you'll hear crusading editor Steve Wilson fighting crime and viciousness. Join the millions of listeners who each week tune for thrill-packed high-tension drama on NBC, where mystery and adventure join together for top-flight entertainment. Tomorrow, be sure to hear Bob Hope and Fibber McGee on NBC.
Truth is stranger than fiction. And this is the proof. This is Ripley's. Believe it or not.
The tombstone of Margaret Johnston and her six children in Trenet, Scotland, was erected over an empty grave. The family vanished in the 17th century without a trace. Believe it or not. In a moment, I'll tell you about the man who paid for his own assassination. When a man lends another man money, he certainly does not intend that it should be used to pay for his own assassination. But such was the case with William the Silent, father of Dutch independence, who advanced 12 crowns to a man by the name of Balthazar Gerard. Gerard had requested an audience with William, and the money was given to him to pay for his transportation. But the money was used by Gerard to buy a gun with which he shot William dead, believe it or not.
I promised I'd avoid a gunfight if possible. But it looks as though it isn't possible. I have one bullet left. You may draw when you're ready.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875. The Carlton Hotel. Headquarters of the man called Paladin.
Go on, Mr. Paladin.
Well, at 7 o'clock, we could have champagne in the lounge.
Mm-hmm.
At 8 o'clock, dinner at the Peacock, something special.
Oh, I'm intrigued, Mr. Paladin. And then?
Coach ride to Barnaby's for Crepe Suzette's only. Barnaby prepares a Crepe Suzette. Mm-hmm. And after that, a liqueur back here by the fire in the lounge.
No.
Then...
What?
No.
Oh, hey, boy.
Who is this?
Me, number one for Mr. Paladin. Sorry, lady. No champagne, no peacock, no creepy Suzette, no liquors tonight. Wire come, you go. I know, you already packed.
Wire?
Here.
Bad news, Mr. Paladin?
Ah, dear lady, forgive me. Hey, boy, send an answer to Tom Carter, Abilene. Just say... Have Gun, Will Travel.
It's no surprise to anybody that the attractive and inexpensive new radios have proved popular. It's no surprise, that is, to anyone who listens to CBS Radio. With so much in the way of music, comedy, drama, variety, and news coming your way every day on CBS Radio, more than one radio around the house is more than a convenience. It's almost a necessity for anyone who has a daily routine. The man of the house wants to come home to an attractive home and an attractive wife. But household chores in themselves are rarely inspirational. The smart homemaker is one who refuses to let her regular responsibilities get her down. She gets her work done every day, but she gets her entertainment in, too. She has a radio in the kitchen as well as the living room. Chances are she has a portable radio as well to follow her from one task to another around the house. She knows why the inexpensive new radios are so popular. And, what's more, she knows the value of CBS Radio, too.
Here you are. Your bag, your saddle, and your gear. This is your hotel right here.
Now, what's that?
Oh, folks from the Wild West show hold up in town right now. Most likely Ella West.
Ella West, huh?
Yeah. The star attraction at Tomahawk Carter's Wild West show. That was kind of frisky at times. Wouldn't go into the lobby by the front way if I was you.
You wouldn't, huh?
Not with Ella cutting up before breakfast. She just might take it into her mind to shoot them buttons off in that fancy vest you're wearing.
Well, I'll chance it.
Well, just friendly advice, brother.
I'd like a room, please.
What?
A room. My name is Paladin.
Oh, yeah, well, just a minute. Now, hold on, Ella. Fun's fun, but enough.
Oh! Hey, Trader, you can jump, too!
Ella!
You speaking to me?
No one else, stranger. You don't need a room. Boys, he needs a cage. I might even buy you a lemon squash later on, Fancy Pants.
I'd prefer whiskey if I felt like drinking, which I don't.
Say, you know who you're talking to?
I do.
I'm Ella West, and I can out-shoot, out-ride, and out-cuss any man here. I can out-drink you, I can out-chew you, and I can out-spit you.
Possibly.
Hey, Ella, it's Tracy Calvert.
Tracy, where?
Hi, Tracy. Now, you gonna let Ella take over your spot in the show? Huh?
Morning, Ella.
I didn't see you come in, Tracy.
Why don't you answer Breed's question?
Well, I just might take your spot. For 2 cents, I'd run you out of town, pony boy.
Don't cut your price for me, Ella.
Why, you...
Break it up now, folks. Break it up. Drinks around Tomahawk Carter. Everybody.
I want to talk to you, Ella. You too, Tracy. That squabbling's got to stop.
You find me in the bar. Come on, Breed.
Well, sure thing, Ella. Come on.
Yeah, what was it this time, Tracy?
The same thing it always is, Mr. Carter.
Well, wrap me in buffalo hide, Paladin.
Hello, Tom. Hello.
Oh, you're a sight, and that's a real sight. Tom. Yes, sir. Tracy, this Mr. Paladin. He knew me way back when I was making an honest living. Tracy Calvert.
I've seen you ride, Mr. Calvert. Laramie, Wyoming, 71, when you took the grand prize.
I had a lucky day, Mr. Paladin.
We got powwow to make.
Well, I'll run along, Mr. Carter.
No. No, you stick here, Tracy. I got bad trouble, and I want you to handle it, Paladin.
Save your money, Tom. I never saw a man you couldn't handle.
It ain't a man. That little gal I want gentle tonight.
Tom, there's one wild thing man will never civilize. Woman. And if you mean that one, I'm afraid there'll be no pleasure in failing.
That little gal in there happens to be Ella West. 24 years old, she's already more of a name than Calamity Jane, Cimarron, Rose, and Belle Star lumped together. I got her in my show, and I got damage bills to prove it. And I'm going to lose my shirt even before I get my show together if something ain't done.
And you'll lose more when you get on the road.
There's a million people want to see Ella West, Mr. Paladin.
Darling of the frontier, heart of gold, yes, I've seen the write-up.
She's fast with a gun, and she can ride like a Comanche.
She has to be more than that. Ella West is a legend, Tom, a romantic illusion. Your audience will expect you to bring it to life.
That's right.
And instead, you'll produce a repugnant, grimy-faced, loud-mouthed little shrew.
Well, I don't figure Ella's as bad as all that, Mr. Paladin.
Oh, how long have you known her?
She joined the show last month.
Well, my question was, how long have you known her, Mr. Calvert?
If you don't mind, I'll look in on the stock.
Tracy and Ella was raised in the same part of the country. Learned shooting and riding together.
Let him tame her. He seems to have a personal interest.
Now, doggone it, we're old
friends. Tom, you're talking about making a show horse out of a wild, mean-tempered colt. Now, that takes more than taming. It means crushing its spirit, rebuilding it from the ground up. With a horse, the odds are 10-1 for failure.
Yeah, I guess I knew it wasn't any use all along. I could have made a fortune with her.
That's why I want 10% of the entire season's gate if I succeed.
You ain't changed, have you?
I hope that's a compliment.
It ain't never stealing to ask what you're worth.
Of all reading filters, cigarettes, Kent filters best. Kent filters best. It makes good sense when you smoke Kent. Kent filters best. Of all of the brands of cigarettes, Kent tastes the best. Kent tastes the best. A richer taste than all the rest. Kent filters best.
This here's Mr. Paladin, Ella.
Oh, Fancy Pants.
He come here to learn you some things.
You ain't gonna learn me nothing.
Correct. My function is to teach. You will do the learning.
I quit.
Spare off time, she just resigned.
Wait just a blasted minute here. If anyone gets runned off, it's going to be him.
Go along, Tom. I'll talk to you later.
I'll be in the saloon.
Now then, sit down, Miss West. Mind if I smoke?
No. Go ahead. Try lighting that cigar now, Fancy Pants.
That will be two deductions from your wages, the cost of the cigar and the bullet damage.
You're kind of a cool one, Fancy Pants, but you ain't going to make no lady out of me.
First, you're not worth 2 cents to the show as a lady, and second, that would be impossible in the first place.
Why, you... you took my gun.
It'll be less noisy that way. Now, sit down, please. Better. Although your audiences will expect you to be somewhat different from the average woman, they will expect certain fundamental manners. The essence of showmanship is to be different without being obnoxious.
You're a lily-livered, fancy-talking dude. I'll run you out of town by morning.
I believe you made the same ridiculous threat to Tracy Calvert.
Him, too. Tracy said anything to you about me, I'll kill him.
There's a ring of honesty in that threat, Miss West. However, he said nothing. I was merely speculating. Are we ready?
You've got something to learn me. I mean, teach me, then get on with it. But keep your nose pulled in, dude.
Incorrect.
I gotta eat, don't I?
You don't reach with a fork and spear a slice of bread. You pick it up with
your
hand.
Now, just a minute.
And you never speak with your mouth full. Now, it's one thing to act homespun. It's quite another.
Great.
You wearing a gun, dude?
It's quite another to create revulsion. I suggest you confine your idiosyncrasies to calling the food littles and complaining over the lack of buffaloes.
I asked you a question, dude.
I heard you.
Because if you ain't got a gun, you better get one. I'm going to teach you some manners.
Drop it.
Ellie, you've been tied to this dude for 2 days. Now, you like it or something?
I'm going along because there's money in it. You know an easier way, Breed?
Yeah. All right, Ellie. You say the word when you need me.
Mr. Breed seems to resent me almost as much as you do.
I can handle Breed for you, dude.
No need, Miss West. When the time comes, I'll handle him myself. Remember, just pretend I'm a newspaper reporter.
Get on with it.
Another question, miss. Tell us about your parents.
My old man was a stinking drunk, and the old lady was worse. She was always...
You are talking to reporters.
Well, then let them make it up like they've been doing all along.
Mention the homestead.
Homestead? It was a stinking sow pen. You can ask Tracy Calvert. It was so bad you couldn't believe it.
I'm sorry.
You wouldn't feel so blasted up if you got rut up like that.
You knew Tracy Calvert then?
Oh, yeah. I knew him. We was kids then. His daddy had a nice spread of land. You should have seen Tracy's house. All painted inside and out with a fence around it. And Tracy's ma all starched up and nice. She gave me a dress once. My old lady traded it for some whiskey. Now, Tracy would have laughed if he'd ever seen me wearing it anyhow.
I think I understand.
What?
About you, Tracy Calvert.
Do you? Yeah, maybe you do that. You're kind of a strange one yourself. I didn't know real men came in fancy pants. What I mean is, we ain't doing so bad, are we?
I don't know.
He's sort of like you. Everything I wasn't, Tracy was. Everything I didn't have, he did. When he was real little, his mom let me stay one night. She come in, pulled the cover up, and kissed me. I was 16 and he was 18 when they was going to move away. Maybe he wasn't growed up yet, but I was. You know, I was growed up plenty. I didn't ask Tracy to marry me, just take me with him. I'd do anything if he would. He could cut me up into little pieces if he wanted to. Just take me. I never said the same thing since, but I'm saying it to you. I ain't what folks think. No man's never touched me. You take me with you when you go back to San Francisco. I wouldn't be afraid with you. Maybe just kiss my cheek and say something nice. I don't want to be in no show, printed in no paper. I just want somebody to know I'm alive. Please.
No.
What's the matter?
Look at yourself. You're still that grimy 16-year-old kid pretending she's a man. You don't compete with women because you're afraid to.
Paladin.
Find a man who wants the smell of the stables and ask him to take you away.
Breed, boy!
wants me?
Then you and Mr. Breed deserve each other.
And he can have me just as soon as he kills you.
Do you see speed laws and other regulations as restrictive, or do you look upon them as protective? When a police officer writes a summons for traffic violations, do you see him as an enemy or a friend? Your life may depend on your attitudes. Statistics clearly indicate that where laws are obeyed, deaths go down. It's no secret that emotional immaturity is the major factor in our accident rate. How else but childish can you describe the notion that breaking a traffic regulation is a way of getting away with something? What could be more infantile than believing one can prove his superiority by ignoring a stoplight? Unfortunately, too many drivers on the road subscribe to that kind of emotional outlook. The result is tragic. Almost 85% of all traffic accidents in America are caused by careless, childish driving. We hope you know our traffic laws and the people who enforce them are there to help save your life.
He's a nasty one, Mr. Paladin.
Come along if you like.
Well.
Good afternoon, Ella. I heard you wanted to see me, Mr. Breed.
Oh, yeah. I didn't recognize you first. Wearing them big boys' clothes.
You're carrying your play-acting too far this time, Ella.
Play-acting? I've shot men for less.
That's kid talking. We aren't kids anymore.
Shut up, Tracy!
You heard the lady, Tracy. Shut up and get out. Me and Fancy Pants gonna settle something.
I changed my mind, Breed. I don't want no killing.
Honey, we made a bargain. You're gonna keep it all the way.
Tracy, take her to one side. You, barkeep, pour 5 shots and set them up in the line.
Yes, sir.
What's this?
I promised Tom Carter I'd avoid a gunfight if possible.
Oh, you ain't got no choice, Fancy Pants.
All poured?
Yes, sir.
Good. Now then, Mr. Breed. I have 1 bullet left. Please, draw whenever you're ready.
Well,
are you going to draw?
I didn't.
But if you aren't going to draw, I suggest that you find Tom Carter, hand in your resignation, and start traveling. Now. Lessons continue at 7, Miss West, in my room. Please be on time.
Got myself some female clothes. Cost more than genuine buckskin. I took a bath, too.
Well, come in.
Tracy Calvert's right. If I ain't a woman, I ain't nothing. I can go if you want me to.
You look very nice, Miss
Well, you don't have to say that.
It happens to be true. You come off surprisingly womanly in a dress.
Store sold me a lot of lashings and cross ropes to go underneath.
It is not considered good taste to discuss undergarments.
I'm sorry. Only thing that threw me was my top notch is worse than plaiting a cow pony's tail. I still hate you. Kind of. Now you smile and go ahead. I don't blame you. I'm clumsy and I talk ignorant, and I guess a few yards of silk don't help the likes of me much.
A wise man judges by the lady's smile.
I think I felt better when you was clumping my knuckles and telling me not to spear my bread. Golly, that's the first nice thing you said to me.
I'm dealing with a woman now.
You're dealing with a shaky one. You just being kind to me.
A woman needs kindness only when she has no virtues, Ella.
I wouldn't want you to say anything out of pity.
Pity isn't included in the course. Come in.
Mr. Paladin, I was... Holy lovely jumping toads.
Oh, Tracy.
Why, Ella, you... Well, I... Gosh.
What's the matter, Tracy?
Why, Ella, I've never seen you in... I mean, your hair, your eyes, Ella. You're a lady, Ella.
Am I, Tracy?
You sure are, and I'll kill the man who says you ain't. I'm sorry for what I said to you, Ella, about not being a lady. But doggone it, you've changed.
She changed for you, Mr. Kelton.
Huh?
She'll tell you herself in time. But she'd like it very much if you just kept that silly look on your face and kept thinking of her as a lady.
Oh, I will, Ella. I swear I will, honest. What'd I do wrong? Did I offend you?
No, Tracy. No, dear Tracy.
Now, Ella, don't cry. Mr. Paladin, what do I do now?
Take your lady in your arms, Mr. Kelton, and never let her go.
How are things in Abilene Town, Mr. Paladin?
In Abilene Town, things are going smoothly. And how are things here in San Francisco?
Woodley.
Specifically, the young lady I never dined with, is she still registered here?
Oh, yes.
Ah. Then will you please take her this note and tell her I'm back?
I'd do it, but her husband no like.
A husband?
She get married 2 days ago.
I mean...
But a Spanish dancer registered today. Very nice. Oh, you catch him up for dinner, eh?
The Spanish dancer?
Oh, boy.
Hey, boy, take that note up to the Spanish dancer... With my compliments.
Same note?
Same note.
No one we know of approves of wasting money. In spite of that, however, we Americans are often guilty of wasting our money by the uses we make of our government facilities. Take the operation of the post office, for example. Mostly out of habit, many offices and individuals post outgoing mail at the end of the day. In so doing, they leave post office employees with too little work to do at other times of the day. In addition, we forget to include zone numbers as part of the address. In both ways, we're slowing down the entire system for delivering mail and adding to the cost of our postal operation. The problem is simple enough to solve. Start solving it tomorrow. If you'll arrange to post letters and packages earlier in the day and include zone numbers on the return address as well as the outgoing address, you'll help our post office operate more efficiently for you, and at less cost, too. Remember, for faster, more economical service, mail early in the day and include zone numbers. Have Gun, Will Travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe. Is produced by Norman McDonald and stars John Daner as Paladin, with Ben Wright as Hayboy. Tonight's story was written by Gene Roddenberry and adapted for radio by John Dawson. Featured in the cast were Virginia Gregg, Sam Edwards, Harry Bartell, Lawrence Dopkin, Lynn Allen, and Barney Phillips. Hugh Douglas speaking. Join us again next week for Have Gun, Will Travel. Thank you.
That's the Relic Radio show for this week, but the old-time radio continues every day at relicradio.com, and we also have a new podcast called Relic Radio's Strange Tales. Just got accepted to the iTunes store. You can find it on iTunes. If you just search Relic Radio Strange Tales, it'll pop right up. I'll have links in the usual spots soon, but you're welcome to check that out. I think you'll enjoy it. You can also find links to everything else Relic Radio at relicradio.com. You can email me at relicradio@gmail.com. Thanks for joining me this week. I'll be back next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show.